Yet at the same time, there's a lot of truth in what we're going to mention. On the board behind me, you see the comment concerning Mrs. Mitchell's response. How many saw the response in the paper? Several of you did. Well, the response to Barbara Mitchell's comment was that I read the King James Bible, but essentially, what's wrong with the other versions as long as we love one another? Well, I'm going to tell Mrs. Mitchell that I really would not respond even to that, but if she does, I'd like for her to use just Scripture, okay? Because that is our armor, that is our offensive weapon. And of course, it was in essence attacking Mrs. Mitchell for what she believes. And she's getting a little taste of what we go through at top publications all the time. Sometimes worse, a lot worse than that, trust me. But what I want to do with you before we even get started is to go to those verses that you see on the board, and you should have these marked in your Bible, because the defense immediately against someone who's attacking you concerning your position of the Bible is to use your offensive weapon, as the pastor has taught you, and that is Scripture. So, in answer to that lady, if I had a choice, I would say to her, turn to Matthew 24:35. Matthew 24:35. Yeah.
The lady that responded to Ms. Mitchell, John King, she's a nut. Now, I mean, seriously.
I was going to say that. I don't know her. But just reading her comment made me think that, and I was afraid to say it here in the open. Thank you, Pastor. I thought that might be the case. Okay. Anyway, as an offensive weapon, use Matthew 24:35. First of all, we have his words. Why? Because he said, "Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away." You should circle "not." Now, let me give you two words that are in the Greek language. Oume. O-U-M-E with a little slash above the E. You know what that means? Never, 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 never pass away. That's the strongest negative in the Greek language. So, if he says, number one, they'll never pass away, and then the next thing he says, turn to Matthew 4:4. You should mark this in your Bible. Matthew 4:4. Man shall not live by bread alone, but what? By every word. And therefore, if God is saying man shall not live except by every word, well, and they'll never pass away. And then he says in Psalm 12, verses 6 and 7, turn there, Psalm 12. Edwin, were you able to get the live stream going? Trying to. Edwin's having trouble with Facebook again this morning. We're having trouble with Amazon. They're taking our books off and moving them around and just causing us all kinds of problems. The world doesn't like what we do here in this church. The world doesn't like what we do publishing, and they will do anything they can to cause you trouble and cause you to stumble, cause you to get angry. The answer to all that, of course, is to pray. But Psalm 12, if you're there now, verses 6 and 7. The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. And of course, God doesn't need to purify His words, but He wants us to understand as believers, it's purified as if He's put it in a furnace and you get, like you're purifying silver. And you know you get the slag that comes to the top and you remove it and you keep doing that until there's no more slag and you get pure silver. That's what God is talking about here. And then in verse 7 He says, "Thou shalt keep them." That is, God shall keep them. "O Lord, Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever." So, we see here, they'll never pass away. You need every word, and God said He'd preserve them. And then in John 12:47, turn there in your Bibles. John 12:47. "And if any man hear my words," with an S on it, "and believe not, I judge him not, for I came not to judge the world, but to save the world. He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day." I think that's both not only at the Bema seat, to be honest with you, but at the great white throne judgment will be judged. So, this lady says it doesn't matter which version you use. Oh, yeah, it does. They're perverted. Verses are missing. Words are missing. Matter of fact, I think I've mentioned this to the church before. 8,000 words are missing. You catch that? 8,000 words. It's equivalent to several books in the Bible are just gone, ripped out of the critical text, which is used to translate these new versions, these perverted versions. So that's the answer to that lady. And that's all she'd have to use is the scripture, Brother Tim, if she wants to answer her. But my position would be, don't answer them. Sometimes you wind up spending days writing and arguing with someone, and it does absolutely no good, even though you're quoting scripture to them. So you've wasted a lot of time where you could be doing something beneficial for those who are willing to hear. Okay, that's what my mentor used to tell me. I've told you about him before. He's now in his 90s and was a Hebrew and Greek expert. Anyway, I just wanted to review that with you because some of you I knew had probably seen it. And what would you answer them? Well, there it is. There's the answer. Okay? Now, sins of the flesh, Satan's tools, the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy, the son of perdition. That means perdition means destroy. 844. "Ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth." What are these new versions called? They're called Bibles. Are they Bibles, really? No, they're paraphrases. They're commentaries. And it's a lie to call them a Bible. And so who are they under the influence of? Yeah, that guy right there. "Because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it." Dr. Nancy Bezonier, head of the CDC, Communicable Disease Center. Now, again, I don't want to be an alarmist this morning, but I've had pastors calling me yesterday asking me what they should tell their churches. And what I've been telling you is what I'm telling them concerning what we're facing around the world today. And I want to review some of this with you. But Dr. Nancy said, has warned that this probably will interrupt the daily lives of some Americans if the virus is going to be stopped. It's not going to be stopped. It's not going to be stopped. Let me move on. I'll show you why. Recent headlines again. I showed you some Wednesday night. Well, here's some more. New CDC guidance says older adults should stay at home as much as possible due to the COVID-19. Governments point fingers over COVID-19 as death toll mounts. One pastor told me that he had heard from one of his missionaries that there are black clouds coming out of China. I'm just being honest with you. From the crematoriums running night and day. Okay? All right, take it for what it's worth. Coronavirus live updates. U.S. outbreak spreads as East Coast sees its first death. Okay? Nursing home at center of Washington. Coronavirus outbreak target of criticism. They got to blame somebody. You know, so they're going to start, oh, you didn't do what you were supposed to do. Yeah, right. And here's from a CIA agent. Now listen. A former American counterterrorism specialist and military intelligence officer of the CIA has said that the coronavirus did not occur naturally through mutation, but rather was produced in the laboratory possibly as a biological warfare agent. I told you I thought that was the truth. There he is. He doesn't look like a liar to me. He looks like he's a pleasant man telling the truth. And he said, several reports suggest that these are components of the virus that are related to HIV. Anybody know what HIV is? AIDS. You remember I told you in one report that they're starting to use AIDS meds to fight this virus? Well, what they've done is mix the HIV DNA with this coronavirus to make it more a problem. Okay, if it is correct that the virus had either been developed or even produced to be weaponized, it would further suggest that its escape from the Wuhan Institute of Virology lab. Anybody know where that is? That's where some of our missionaries are living. Okay. Technicians who work in such environments are aware that leaks from laboratories occur frequently. Philip Giraldi wrote in an article published by the Strategic Culture Foundation on Thursday. Okay. Just warning you, this is a serious virus. Do you know that people are now fighting over toilet paper in stores? Like they do at Christmas, you know, over some materialistic thing? They're going to be fighting over food and those kind of things also. So, let's move on. My headline to you. Economic woes coming may precipitate first phase of the second coming. We covered that a little bit on Wednesday night. We're going to cover some more of it today. If the flu is as dangerous as COVID-19, which they're saying, and even yesterday, some man came out and said, oh, it's no worse than the flu, and everything's being exaggerated. They're trying to save the economy. Okay, they're trying to keep fright down. Don't let it frighten you. I'm not frightened. I'm just being realistic. Okay, our president issued an early order to stop flights from China. What did he know? Why, when everybody else said, oh, no, don't stop, he said, stop the flights coming out of China. He knew something. And, of course, he couldn't say what the truth is, I believe. Okay. Let's go over this again. Why am I doing this? I want you to be ready. You need to be what we call in the Bible holy. Holy, holy, holy. In light of the Trinity, being holy, holy, holy. What does holy mean? Hagios, it means sanctified, set aside. If you're ever going to be set aside, it's now. The Bible is true. Amen. The Bible is true. All those prophecies that came true. And this may just be a warning to us present time, and we may get through this and go on a while longer, but what it's doing is calling attention to some of those maybe who are convicted but have not gotten saved, that they would get saved, and I hope that's the case. Don't be silent. Now with your family, your friends that you know may be convicted, but they haven't crossed the line yet and gotten saved, really trusting and believing in the Lord Jesus Christ and therefore in His words, which will judge them in that day. Okay, now let's go through it again. Old Testament times, that's before the cross, and then the indeterminate church age time, whether it's 2,000 years or not, we don't know, but that's about where we are now, as you know, after the cross. Then Revelation 4:1. Wait a minute. I think I've got it. Let's see. No, I don't think I have it. Maybe not. Well, let's not go there. We don't have time. Revelation 4:1 and Revelation 6:17 talks about the rapture. And, of course, this is when John, as a type of the rapture in Revelation, was called up to heaven. You remember the words in Thessalonica or Thessalonians? Well, we'll get there. All right. And then the tribulation period. And again, I mentioned to you the rapture occurs. We're not sure how long it is before the trib starts, but I think it's pretty fast. From all indications, when the rapture occurs, then the tribulation is going to start very fast, and the Antichrist is going to be revealed, and then the first half of the tribulation, 3.5 years, and then the Antichrist desecrates the temple, which is going to be rebuilt. You're going to see in a minute a slide from Israel that says this is the age of the third temple. They're getting ready to build it. All the utensils are there, all the parts of the temple are made, and they're getting ready to rebuild the temple. Put it all together, folks. Okay? All right, here we go. Tribulation, first half, and then the Great Tribulation, as I mentioned, and then the second phase of the Second Coming, which is when Jesus puts His feet down on the Mount of Olives, and then the 1,000 years of the millennium and the Great White Throne Judgment occurs right there. And then the next era shows you go on into eternity, those that are saved and not thrown into the pit, into hell. Okay, the rapture from harpazo means caught up. Do you see rapture in the Bible? Is that word in the Bible?
No.
I've had that thrown at me by classes in the past. Well, Doc, that's not in the Bible. Where'd you get that? Well, it comes from a Latin verb, and it was in the old Latin Bibles years ago, rapere, which means rapture. That's where we get it. And it means exactly the same as harpazo, to carry off or carry up, to catch up. It is not found in Scripture. It is used in the Latin Bible. The rapture, here we go. 1 Thessalonians 4:16 to 17. We've been there before. You remember when we went through Thessalonians, 1st and 2nd, but I want to review it with you because sometimes we forget. For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. And frequently in my emails I send out, I say I'm listening for the shout and I'm listening for the trumpet to my friends and authors and so on. And the dead in Christ shall rise first, then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up. There's rapture. Okay, rapture. Together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. That's the first phase of the second coming. There it is, right there. Okay, just reviewing. Revelation 4:1, here it is. After this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven, and the first voice which I heard was as it were a trumpet. Interesting, isn't it? A shout and a trumpet. Well, there's the trumpet. Talking with me, which said, come up hither. You're going to hear that if you're saved. and the rapture occurs, he's going to say, come up here and you're going to shed this earthly house and be given a heavenly house. You remember that in Corinthians? Okay, we went through that too. As it were, a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up hither, and I will show you these things which must be hereafter. Revelation 6:17, for the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand it? That's talking about the wrath of the tribulation. How do we know we'll not be carried into the tribulation and therefore the pre-wrath rapture? That's just right after the middle of the first 3.5 years, as some people teach. It's false, okay? There's no such thing as a pre-wrath rapture. And I think I have that in my slides. Yep, there it is, 1 Thessalonians 1:10. Now listen carefully. Some of you get kind of, Google-eyed when we go through this, but it helps you understand why we know we're going to be involved in the rapture pre-tribulation, not pre-wrath in the middle of the tribulation. Here it is, 1 Thessalonians 1:10. And to wait for his son, first phase, from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from, this is a very important from. You can't get it in English. You do have to look at the underlying language here to get it. So listen, from is from apo, the wrath to come. That apo there means close but not in it. Are you with me now? So, to save us from the wrath that's coming, we're going to come close to it. We see it coming. Perhaps this economic trouble, we're living through some difficult times, and it's going to get pretty difficult, I think. But it means from, means close to the wrath, the tribulation to come. Now, here in these verses, 2 Timothy 3:10 and 11, you see a different word. It's called ek. That means out of the midst of. You see the difference? So you come near instead of being involved in the midst of it. That's how we know we will not be involved in the tribulation. We'll be raptured out of here instead of a pre-wrath. This is one of the reasons anyway. All of these here substantiate that. He was raised from the dead. That was ek. What does that mean? He was literally dead and raised out of the dead. You see the difference now? Instead of being apo, he was nearly dead. He just swooned. He didn't swoon. He was ek from the dead. Okay? All right. That's the importance of that. And that's why pastors teach these things, but sometimes they don't teach you the underneath reason why. Well, that's why. Okay. Scripture is true. Every syllable, every jot, every tittle. 1 Corinthians 15:51. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment. And we say this all the time. In the twinkling of an eye, at the last, whoa, look at that, trump again. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible. Get rid of this earthly house, put on the heavenly house, and we shall be changed. Very important that you are solid in your belief here, so that you are not afraid to share with your family and with others what we're talking about here. That's why we keep reviewing some of these things. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and the man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, remember, destruction. There it is again. So right after the rapture, from the book of Daniel and from Thessalonians and from Revelation, we know the Antichrist is going to be revealed. I think, as I told you Wednesday night, I think he's alive on the face of the earth even now. And in Italy, I believe. 2 Thessalonians 2:4. Who, this is the Antichrist, opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Remember, we went all this through all this in class before, back in Daniel 7, the little horn, and all the features of the Antichrist in Daniel chapter 7. By the way, one of the books I'm doing for Dr. Guy Lee is on the book of Daniel, the first 11 or 12 chapters. And we finished, I think we have finished, his book on Revelation. They go together. I was quite surprised at how well he writes and how well he has outlined the major features in those two books concerning these things I'm talking to you about this morning. That's why I'm reviewing them with you, so that you have absolute, you're on solid ground. You absolutely believe it. Don't say, well, I believe it, and you really don't. Really believe it, okay? That's why I believe it, because of these things. Here we go again. Now ye know what withholdeth. How many of you remember this? We went through this in class 2. That word there behind withholdeth is the same word here and the same word there. And if you get that, when you read this verse, you'll understand it better. So now, and now ye know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time. Who is it going to be revealed? It's not talking about Christ here. It's the son of perdition. It's the Antichrist. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Boy, is there iniquity in this world today. And the mystery of it continues and is getting worse. Only he who now letteth, so substitute, if you would, this word here. Now, he who now withholdeth will withhold until he be taken out of the way. When the church goes, the Holy Spirit's going to go. Okay? That's where we get that. That's where that doctrine comes from. Until he be taken out of the way, and then shall that wicked, notice the capital W there. That's talking about the Antichrist, be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth. Who's really in charge of everything? It's the Lord. He's just letting this happen. This creation is a proving ground. It's a test of you and me during our life to see if we measure up to what we need to be a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ in order to be taken to heaven to be with God. I often think of this creation as a hologram or as a laser construction. Do y'all remember Michael Jackson? I didn't know him. I didn't listen to his music. But I was fascinated by the fact after he died from his overdose that they were using laser reproductions of him just like he was on stage. I think they've done that with Whitney Houston too. If you remember the black singer that was so famous, they are now doing that with her now. I think this creation is similar to that. A hologram or a laser production. That's why God, who lives in eternity, can come into this laser-made, hologram-type creation and know what's going on past and future. He has created a laser picture, you see, for us all to believe. That's what I'm thinking is the situation in this creation. That's my, what can I say? It's my thought, my consideration, and I think it makes sense because of what the Scripture seems to be indicating. Millennium, seven times. In the book of Revelation, it says this, and I've had people tell me, oh, that's just allegory, this millennium. Yet it says 1,000 years seven times in Revelation. Revelation 20, during which holiness is to prevail and Christ is to reign on earth. So let's see. Let's go back. Well, I can't. I'll get there in a minute again. So during the millennium, he's going to rule with a rod of iron. What do you think he means by rod of iron? It's the Bible. It's the canon of Scripture. Canon means rod. And where were those words? They were in heaven. And how were they brought here? By the Holy Spirit giving them to the apostles and prophets to record. Okay. Revelation 26, blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. How many know what the first resurrection is? It's a rapture. And then the those that are saved during the tribulation who are beheaded and their souls are beneath the throne of God, they also are included in that first resurrection. Blessed is he who takes part in the first resurrection. I hope everyone here today is going to be a part of that rapture that we see any second here, less than a second, is going to happen. All right? Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power. Have you all heard that expression? Born once, die twice. And the other one is if you're born twice, you die once. Think about that a little bit. It's not exactly perfect, but it's pretty good. Okay, Revelation 26. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power. But they shall be priests of God and of Christ and come back with him. We're his army that comes back as he comes on a white horse. That's probably symbolic. I don't know that it's actually a white horse, but that's what the Scripture says. But they shall be priests of God and of Christ and shall reign with him 1,000 years. There it is. And these are the other places where millennium or 1,000 years occur. Daniel 9:27. And he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. He, the Antichrist, and in the midst of the week. So a week in the book of Daniel is 7 years. Now, I don't have time to go into all that, but it's 7 years. So in the midst of the 7 years, that's 3.5 years, is when he desecrates the temple. And, of course, he has signed a covenant with Israel and then breaks that covenant with them, if you recall, having heard all of that. In the midst of the week, he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease. Well, how can you do that? There's no temple. Well, you just keep watching. And for the overspreading of abominations, he shall make it desolate even until the consummation, and that determined shall be poured upon the desolate. I don't have time to exegete all that for you, but let's go through this again. Right here is where the abomination of desolation, the Antichrist, is going to cause a lot of things to happen, to then precipitate the last 3.5 years that talks about in the book of Revelation. Okay, so that's the midst of the week, the 3.5 years. There's the tribulation period, 7 years. That's what it means in the book of Daniel. So what I'm doing this for you this morning is to reassure you, if you have any doubts whatsoever in your mind concerning any of this or what the Scripture says. Sometimes we go, yeah, I believe the Scripture, but do they really, or are there a lot of doubts? Okay, I want you to be absolutely confident that this thing is right. Now, Ephesians 6:12, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood. What do we wrestle against? You know. That's what we're wrestling against today, just like the lady writing in that little comment in the newspaper. People are going to believe that because they're not grounded in what they should be grounded. They have no idea what Scripture says. Okay. But against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this world, it's a spiritual battle we're facing. And now, sins of the flesh. And we're going to keep dealing with that. I'm about out of time again. Gateway to worse and worse sin. Ted Bundy. Anybody remember Ted Bundy? The serial killer of hundreds of women, they believe. Hundreds. Rather than what we really know. Well, this is from James Dobson. He went and interviewed him. And where did it start? An infamous serial killer responsible for murder of many as 50. They know 50 for sure. But they now believe it was hundreds. Some report hundreds. And girls granted an interview to psychologist James Dobson just before he was executed in 1989. In that interview, he described the agony of his addiction to pornography. Fornication. Pornia. The second sins of the flesh mentioned in Galatians chapter 5. It's a gateway. And Satan is using it like crazy these days. I'll show you something else. Bundy goes back to his roots, explaining the development of his compulsive behavior. He reveals his addiction to hardcore pornography and how it fueled the terrible crimes he committed. Here's what I worry about, and I put this on the internet. Our children, using smartphones, are having access to pornography. We are fueling serial killers. Serial criminals. Read this with me. Children addicted to pornography via smartphones. Friday Church News, February 19, 2020. The following is excerpted from What's the Right Age for a Child to Get a Smartphone? New York Times, July 20, 2016. Not long ago, many parents wondered at what age they should give their child full access to the car keys. Nowadays, parents face a trickier question. At what age should a child own a smartphone? The topic is being increasingly debated as children get smartphones at an even younger age. Now, read this. On average, children are getting their first smartphone around the age of 10, according to the research firm Influence Central, down from age 12 in 2012. For some children, smartphone ownership starts even sooner, including second graders as young as 7, according to internet safety experts. The longer you keep Pandora's box shut, the better off you are, said Jesse Weinberger, an internet safety speaker based in Ohio, who gives presentations to parents, schools, and law enforcement officials. There's no connection to the dark side without the device. Now read this. Mrs. Weinberger, who wrote the smartphone and internet safety book, The Boogeyman Exists, and where is it? And he's in your child's back pocket. I noticed some of the kids even here. Their cell phones are in their pocket. And said she had surveyed 70,000 children in the last 18 months and found that on average, sexting began at the fifth grade. Pornography consumption began when children turned 8, and pornography addiction began around age 11. That was years ago. What do you think it is today? It's the gateway, as I just proved to you, to lots more serious things. Okay, sins of the flesh. Watch your kids. Check their phones. As a parent, check the phone. You're the parent. They're the child. They don't know what they're getting into. That's why I bring that up. That's why we're covering sins of the flesh. We're going to do one by one. And we're getting to it. Just hang in there with me if you would, okay? Pastor's back here, so I've got to stop before he yells at me, okay? All right. Brother Tim, can you close in prayer for us, brother?